Good morning, guys. It is Friday, May 13. Henry, what happened overnight?
Thanks, Tom. Well, overnight, we did see a bit of a mixed session on the Dow, but at least a bit of stability creeping in. The Dow closed down 104 or 0.3%, but NASDAQ was actually up 7 points, finally 0.06%. But I guess we'll take the 7 points. And the S&P 500 modestly lower 5 points. So we did once again see volatility in the US. We saw some wholesale price numbers come out, which suggests that maybe inflation has at least peaked, but that is questionable given that the oil price has pushed higher again, although it was pretty stable overnight. So commodities generally a little bit mixed, with zinc down 3.6% and tin taking a bit of a battering at the moment. Tin is the substitute for lead in electronic circuit boards, but commodities doing well generally today. The European market eased as well, and we did see Federal Reserve head Jerome Powell being affirmed or reconfirmed as the head of the Fed. And once again, we've seen his colleagues out and about jawboning the 50 basis points, which was somewhat optimistic for US markets. So maybe we're starting to see a little bit of a bottom creeping into the US markets, and our market has responded positively today, despite the SPY being down 5 points. And nobody's really looked at that. We're up 86 as we speak.
Thanks, Henry. Good little segue into what's happening with our market this morning. ASX 200 was up 85 points when we last looked at it, well ahead of what the futures had indicated. The market now above that key 7,000 level that is looking like a key level of support. Tech, property and energy stocks leading the market higher. Block SQ2 is reversing most of yesterday's fall. They're up 12%. Zero also recovering from yesterday's fall on their full year numbers. I'm sure Leighton will have some stuff on the brokers shortly. All sectors in positive territory, not much on the corporate or economic calendars. We do have a speech from the RBA's Michelle Bullock. That is about it. There is some on the corporate front, there's some speculation. PE firms are looking at Webjet again, and Virtus Health is up a touch despite posting a 30% drop in income. They also flagged more disruptions. Marcus?
When you say PE firms, you mean private equity. Not everybody is up. Jargon, Thomas. And do we have anything on Xero today?
Nothing out yet this morning. I'm sure there'll be something out.
The interesting thing about Xero, I was talking to an accountant and I was suggesting to him that accountants have moved from being strategic advisors to being operators of Xero, and Xero has taken away all their value add. And I also asked, what is it with Xero? They're not reporting any earnings on a PE of 2,000 and 300 next year. And he said they're still in the land grab stage. So it's a little bit like Afterpay. It's not Afterpay. It's a little bit like Afterpay, which was deliberately not earning money because it's spending money to acquire customers before anyone else does. And that's still the stage Xero's in. So it never looks cheap, but it is one of our biggest tech stocks and obviously does have a fabulous product that is very sticky and highly regarded. So at some point, it might well come back.
Marcus, do we want to go strategy with you? What are you talking about? Yes. What are we talking about, rather?
Strategy. And I've written today, for better or worse, I've made the call that it's too late to sell. I think if I was in the US, I would be a lot more worried than I am in Australia. Our market obviously has moved off this, was it 7,600 three times and come down to 6,800 or so, now above 7,000 again. We seem to be in a sideways trading range rather than a downtrend. You go and look at any of the US charts though, and it's pretty horrific. There is a major pivot point that has happened at the top here. But from here in Australia, at least, it looks like a normal correction. The damage isn't that bad. We're down less than 10%. And on that basis, it is the sort of event that happens regularly once a year. The sort of 15% corrections, 20% corrections happen once every 3 years, the 50% corrections once every 10 years. So this is just at this point a normal event. For the US, something different though. It's one of their 3-year events at the moment. But Australia, reasonably relaxed, unless of course you're in tech stocks. Our tech stocks are, I think, 38% or something off the top, or 28% off the top. Anyway, short term, the observation is short term sentiment's hitting extreme lows. Markets are oversold. We are in a glass half empty hole. And from these levels, a sharp bounce is very possible. And it's a short-term game now for active members to try and time that bounce. I mean, we're up 85 points. Good start, but one day is not enough, but it is a good start. More important debate, I think, is the big trend for investors. Are we going nowhere for ages? Is this an investor buying opportunity before the resumption of a bull market, or is this a cash up, get defensive, more cash, and go and play golf or do something else rather than focus on the equity market for a while? My humble assessment is that we are at the bottom of a sideways trading range that's been in place since November in Australia. It's not too bad, in which case there's no need to hit cash or go defensive or maybe more cash just so you have ammunition to buy at the bottom. But I don't think it's a throw your hands up and run away from the equity market event yet. And I do think there's an exploitable bounce coming. It will be a trading opportunity. Longer term, is it a downtrend? Is it the end? No, it's not. But it's too early to make the call and we don't need to make the call. So let's just watch what develops. But at this point, I would note we are oversold. We're at lower than pre-pandemic levels and all the issues are slow burn, well understood and in the market. And the bull market could easily resume from here. Good day today, probably not enough. But if you look at the technical indicators, RSI on things like the NASDAQ, they are due a solid bounce at some point soon. People just have to grit their teeth at the moment. When you see stocks like Netflix down 75%, and I could list a load of them, Amazon quality business down 49%, you know, this will at some point find a level. I would say it's pretty close.
That's a good lead in to Henry today. I saw you're talking about how the mighty have fallen. What's all that about?
Well, I guess it's just pointing out that there have been some extraordinary losses in some of the former high flyers. Stocks like Satire, which was topping out at around $5, was 45 cents yesterday. And that's an extraordinary fall. Same with Step One, which is the bamboo undies, no chafing. They had a $3 close experience. And now they're again, they are in serious trouble with come a downgrade. It looks like it doesn't seem to be an upgrade in the pipeline. 48 cents. Even stocks like ResMed have been under serious pressure. That's despite the fact they had the tailwind from the Philips recall. And of course, something as boring and dull in theory as pizza, Domino's, has just basically been stuffed crust. They have been absolutely smacked from $164. Hard to believe they were $164 for a company that delivers average pizza. They're now $68. So the market really has been smashed. So just talking about some of those. Also, talking about the Federal Reserve, because it is a quite a strange beast. It was enacted by an act of government back in 1913, but it has the joy of seeing all their reserve chiefs wandering around talking to the media and making their own little pronouncements and having their own little media storms, which does smack of ill discipline, which just creates more and more volatility. Whereas our Reserve Bank, I would be surprised if anybody outside finance could name a single member of the Reserve Bank board, but they could probably name at least three of the Federal Reserve. So, you know, it's good that we have Phil Lowe, at least the concentration point, where there's certainly a message that's on track the whole time. Apart from that, yes, the market is bouncing today. We did see yesterday that the market had a big 124-point fall, which seemed to be a little bit overdone, mainly in the resource stocks as they turned turtle, as Asian Dalian futures gave up ghost. But at some stage, we will get a bounce. My watch list of stocks still includes lithium, which I think has got a long way, a long, long way to run. And they have been whacked considerably, but happy to play the bounce, but still relatively happy to be cashed up.
The RBA board, by the way, has got 9 members and 5 are women. And a lot of them are ex-directors of listed companies. So they do understand the stock market, I have to say.
Yeah.
How many can you name, Marcus?
I can name them all.
Well, because you're looking at the market on your page.
Alison Watkins is non-executive director of CSL, Wes Farmers.
And you can
Carol Schwartz is the chair of equity trustees. And Stephen Kennedy, who's he on? Board of Taxation. No list of companies there. Carolyn Hewson, CSL non-exec director. So there are 2 CSL directors on there. Ian Harper, no listed companies that I can see. Wendy Crake? Have I pronounced that wrong? CSIRO, looks like she's a government through and through. Mark Barnaba, Fortescue Metals, deputy chair. That's interesting. And Michelle Bullock, who is Basel Committee on Banking Supervision.
Guy DeBell went to Fortescue. That was a pretty big change. He was the second in charge at the RBA, Michelle Bullock is now the second in charge. So that was quite a big move for him.
Hmm. Enough RBA guessing, I think. Leighton, what is going on with the brokers today?
Well, I will be writing up zero when I get to see some of it. But having a look at Orica today, they were up 4.7% yesterday on their results. Overall, it was pretty neutral from the brokers, with Citi, Macquarie and Morgan's all just adjusting their target prices to in line with the current share price. But Morgan Stanley is overweight, and they say that pricing leverage is now a potential provider of upside and should drive meaningful growth. And their target price is $19.70, which implies a 20% upside. And just a couple of downgrades as well. CSR was downgraded to neutral at Macquarie, and their target price came down to $6.05 from $6.80. That still implies a 17% upside. And GrainCorp also downgraded to neutral at Morgan Stanley. The target price is unchanged there at $10.70, which is 6% above the current share price. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Leighton. And Marcus, what was our question of the day?
Question of the day today is on the member survey, which I'll put in the newsletter today, and I'll put this question in as well. By the way, at the weekend, I have a rather hilarious section, which is going to be the results from the member survey. Over 500 people have done it, which is the worst financial decision you've ever made. And let me preface it with the with a piece of information that a lot of them have to do with marriage. Staying married too long is one that features regularly. Anyway, the question of the day today, on the basis that children provide you with no financial return at all, but are one of the most expensive items you will ever involve yourself with, they are indeed, I feel, the worst financial decision you could possibly make of all financial decisions other than divorce. How many children do you intend to have? Now, obviously, this is pointless for Henry or myself, because we're not going to be having any more. But I have four, by the way. Henry, how many kids have you got?
I have two, and I have to say, I'll answer this question quickly. I think they're the best investment I ever made, because nobody else is going to look after me in my old age but them, at least I hope.
That might be, I might save you some nursing costs, but from a financial point of view, they are one of the worst financial decisions you can make. Thomas, how many kids do you expect to have? If any,
I guess it's a discussion I'd have to have with my partner at the time. But I'd probably
no intentions. You don't imagine yourself. Oh,
I think everyone's, well, not everyone. I maybe see myself with two, because I was one of two. So that seems
what
like.
What if you have two boys on the trot?
Two twins?
No, you have boy then a boy.
Sounds good to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think Sophie will want a boy and a boy?
I have to ask her.
And hence comes the issue. We went girl, 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 and I was booked in for the snip. And on the morning of the snip, Emma rang me and said, I'm just not 100% sure about this. She goes, I'm not saying I want another kid, but I'm just not 100% sure about this. And I was, oh, thank you very much. It wasn't going to be the best day of my life. Yeah. I can tell that it has got slightly better. And of course, she was pregnant within a month with Archie, who was Archie, you complete me, Padley. So Emma's sister went, boy, 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 saw us have Archie, and then had another boy. So it is a bit of a gamble. If you have the same
sex, they not
a lot of people want one of each, you see. That's why I think some people go a bit further. Leighton, any ideas what you intend to have?
I always have liked the idea of three, but Mum has drilled into me that when there's three, there's always one that misses out on something. Like things are made for two kids.
I've heard the Sultan of something or other say one lonely, two always fighting, three two against one, four perfect. There you go. So yeah, yes, two against one.
You have to find a girlfriend first, Leighton.
True. It's a long way off for me, I think.
Chi-Chi.
I was the same as Leighton. I always wanted three, but then I remember there's the middle child syndrome. So I don't think I'm eligible to have four. I'm running out of time. So definitely two, I think.
Right. Can I just tell you, from the position of someone who's got four, two is not parenthood. That's a bloody holiday. Anyway, our survey, let me just give you the results of our survey of 500 of our members. The number of children, most popular at 49% of our members have come in with two children. The next most popular is three children, 24%. One child, 18%. I am staggered to find that I am in a tiny minority of people with four children, which is 6%. Emma told me it was normal. It clearly isn't. And 2.6% of our members have more than four children. Congratulations. Well done. A noble effort. And that probably wraps us up for today. Great. Okay. Have a fabulous day, everyone. And look out for the worst financial decisions in the weekend newsletter tomorrow. As we leave you, the market is up 92. Maybe today is the bottom. We will see.
Thank you.
See you, Henry.
See you, Henry.